May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The question might be, among some of you, will we ever get out of John 4? That I don't have insight about yet. It's looking like that might not be. I'm 63, and so I'm not really sure if we'll make it out of John chapter 4. This is something the Lord spoke to me. This showed me. I mean, I've read this a bunch, obviously. You've heard it a bunch lately. But I saw this scripture again this morning, and it just jumped off the page to me. Those are the things you like to teach, if you're a teacher, or preach, if you like a preacher, because it's revelation to you, an insight to you. And this is a simple little word. It says, and he left Judea, departed to Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. And for some reason, that just grabbed me again, that he had to pass through Samaria. So I got out the map and looked again and to see what it had to do. And he's in a place where choosing not to go back to Jerusalem, instead to go home into his homeland, he's passing through Samaria. He had to go that way. It's like if you're driving down the road and there are these detours or whatever, and you have to go, there's only one way you can go. So that's the language the Holy Spirit uses here, is that he had to pass through Samaria. I thought about, what if Jesus didn't want to go through Samaria? What if he thought, well, I don't want to go through Samaria? And he began to complain about going through Samaria. When he showed up at Sychar, he had a heart of complaining. I don't think he would have even realized what God was up to. I don't think the woman at the well, her life would have been changed at all. Or if he just decided, I don't want to go through Samaria, so I'm going to go my own way. Also, this woman's life would have been transformed, and an entire region wouldn't have experienced revival. You know, in Acts, it talks about the gospel going to Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. There's another place in the gospel where Jesus said, look out on the fields, and he was looking at Samaria, and he says, the fields are white unto harvest. One of the things I'm grateful for, many aeons ago, when I was in Bible college, one of our professors, the professor who was evangelism, his name was I.J. Fontenot. He was a Cajun from southwest Louisiana who had raised Roman Catholic, found Christ in a real profound way, and he had this real passion to lead people to Jesus. And one of the things he would say to us is that when Jesus said that the fields were white unto harvest, he wasn't saying that to the whole world. He was saying that a particular area was ripe for harvest. And that when you're doing evangelism, you know, the Lord will lead you into places where you sow and sow, but the place where it's ready for harvesting are those places that have been prepared, that are ready. So you got to know when to not get discouraged because you're sowing, and in those places where you're reaping because their sowing and watering has already taken place. And I don't believe that if Jesus hadn't have done what he did, hadn't gone through Samaria, hadn't encountered this woman, and hadn't this little region hadn't experienced revival, maybe that wouldn't have been part of what he said in Acts 1. Maybe he wouldn't have said Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. But Samaria was ready. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is, what if Jesus' attitude was, well, I don't want to go to Samaria. I don't like going to Samaria. I'd rather go some other way, went some other way, or went with an attitude in his heart. And their whole history would have been different. Certainly Sychar and this woman at the well. But here's the thing, and I just wrote some stuff down in my coloring book here. And I wrote this. This is the first thing the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, can you know without seeing the redemptive conclusions that you were sent into the situation you find yourself in? You see, it says about Jesus over and over again, I think it's like 37 times in John alone where he uses the word sent, but up in verse 34 of chapter 3, which is part of this whole story, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. So Jesus had a deep sense of conviction that he wasn't governed by circumstances or happenstance or luck or coincidences. That there was someone in control of his life who was ordering his steps. I think that's why it says in verse 3, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. The word departed could literally be translated, he went after. Whatever Jesus found himself in, he went after it with all of his heart. Because he believed he was sent. And he believed he was sent knowing that even before he saw the redemptive conclusion of the situation. See, it's easy for us to believe and to have a good attitude after the situation has gone on. We go, oh, God really was in that. It really turned out well. You understand what I'm saying? Have you ever done that before, ever? And so this is the other thing the Lord spoke. He said, knowing, in other words, knowing that I'm sent, that there's someone ordering my life, I don't have to wait to see with my eyes the redemptive conclusion that things work together for good. I believe that even when I can't see it. So I go after it, whatever it is. Whatever situation I find myself in, I go after it. In other words, wholeheartedly. Knowing that I'm sent and surrendering to that releases his presence and his anointed destiny for you in that situation. You with me? When Joseph was put into the hole in the ground and sold into slavery, when he was serving Potiphar for many years, and then when he spent 2 years in jail, in both of those situations, it says, and God prospered him and put him in charge. He carried influence. There was a release of destiny and anointing. And it says, for the Lord was with him. That's presence. There was the presence of the Lord and was released anointed destiny in that situation because he didn't give in to bitterness or anger or resentment or complaint. You hear me? This is like everyday stuff, right? We use this like you're stuck in traffic. You got to be somewhere. Well, maybe you're stuck in traffic so that you'll show up late because there's somebody going to cross your path who wouldn't cross your path as you walked in the door if you showed up earlier. Without seeing the redemptive conclusion, can we go ahead and surrender to the fact that we're sent? That my life isn't about luck or bad luck or people or their choices in my life. It's bigger than all that. That we had to pass through something. Do you find yourself constrained in a situation or restrained in some situation or with some person that if you had a preference, you wouldn't be there? But you believe that your life is under the authority of a king who orders your steps? You don't have to wait to see it's going to work out to be good. To know. So here was the other thing I said, I wrote this morning early this morning was this, is that why do we spend so much time complaining about situations he puts us in as if he weren't faithful? And why do we spend so much time demanding that he gives us things that he seems to be determined to protect us from? As if he weren't loving or wise. You ever done that before? You ever wished that you had something you don't have, or you were married to a different person than you're married to? You wish you had that person, or you had this position, you had that whatever, or you had that much money, or you want to get there, it seems to be stopped. I mean, we just get determined that God give us things that he seems to be determined to protect us from. Israel did that once. They griped every day because of manna. They wanted meat. And Psalm 106 says that God sent meat. Remember when the quail? He He said he gave them the desires and sent leanness to their soul. If you keep demanding God give you something he seems determined to protect you from, he will eventually let you have it. Literally. I'd rather learn by revelation, wouldn't you, than the woodshed. The woodshed's not a fun place to learn things. I love what it says. And he had to pass through Samaria. I don't know what it is you're having to pass through or live in, but why don't you go ahead and know that you're sent, surrender to that, experience his released presence and his released presence and anointed destiny in that situation. Because ultimately, in his presence is fullness of joy. In his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore, but if we spend all of our time complaining or avoiding or griping or demanding more, not only are you missing God's best and redemptive situation and anointed opportunities, you're also missing his presence. So the enemy wins at every front. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.